Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, forgive me for a moment for going back to John the Baptizer. I can't help it. First of all, because the readings chosen by the church won't let us forget him. He comes up in Advent as the forerunner, and then he comes up again after Christmas as the one who points him out. So the church wants us to really keep thinking about John the Baptizer. He caught everyone's attention, and as I keep saying, he called them back to the River Jordan 1,000 years after they had first crossed it, called them back to think again about what their call had originally been and to recognize that they'd kind of messed it up for 1,000 years, needed to be reclaimed and reclaim their mission. He called them back then for a new beginning, fresh start. In Orthodox churches, those churches from the East who have iconostasis, they have a whole series of icons that separate the congregation from the sanctuary, opening the doors for the proclamation of the gospel, for certain parts of the Eucharistic prayer for communion. But the iconostasis is there to be invitations to prayer of the people. But my real point is that almost invariably in the icons that are in every chapel, every parish church in Orthodox Christianity, the central icon is Christ, Pantocrator, the Almighty One. But then always, the Mother of God on one side, John the Baptizer on the other. In our Western churches, we've kind of forgotten about him a little too much, I'm afraid. Hardly ever see any image or reminder of him, but he was terribly important. Continues to be very important, comes back in this period of the liturgy as the one who foretold his coming and pointed him out. And then Jesus himself, as we heard again this morning, went and joined the crowd going back to the Jordan River. He stood in that crowd himself, signaling his intention to be part of the renewal of the Jewish people, to be part of that fresh start. And suddenly, that became a very important moment for him. Because the voice said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Mark's gospel has, "You are my beloved Son." So it's something very personal, an experience. Matthew says, "This is my beloved Son," making sure that people understand that there is something that has implications for everyone. But Mark and Luke make it very personal. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so it really does speak about his relationship to God in an extraordinary way. That it was one filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is a way of talking about energy and vitality and focus and purpose. That he was there with a mission. A man with a mission. And filled with not only the Spirit, but with that he would come with fire, with a certain kind of eagerness and passion and conviction. Now, in the biblical literature, fire was one of the primary symbols for the presence and power of God. And it was with good reason that it was, because fire fires flames were alive. They were moving. They were sometimes soft and gentle like a candle or a bonfire, you know, campfire that's gentle, but sometimes they were fires destructive and raging and roaring, like the forest fires we see from California that just keep coming and consuming all kinds of property. So it was a symbol for the presence of God, because whether it's gentle or whether it's raging, it's very real, but you put your hand in there, you feel it, but there's nothing there except it's burning. So it was a wonderful symbol for the presence and power of God. And Jesus was told he would be filled with the spirit of vitality and with God's presence. And he brought that spirit and that fire to other people. He came to point out the work of God in the world, and he called others to be part of that work. So this great feast of the baptism of Jesus signals the beginning of his public ministry. It signals that he begins to feed the hungry, that he begins to cure the lepers, those who were afflicted with a terrible disease that separated them from the rest of God's people, to pull them back into community relationships, to teach about how God works in the world, to die and to rise. It's not only about him and the beginning of his public ministry, but it celebrates the fact, the precise point, that we have been pulled into that same ministry. That it isn't all about Jesus alone, it's always also all about us. Now, I know in our sacramental practice, we have moved very early on to baptizing infants. And there's a reason for that. Not only because big families came into the church at the same time, and so the whole family came in with their relationships with each other and the obligation to care for each other's growth, not only physically but also spiritually, and grace and God's presence, but also to symbolize that we don't get this on our own. We don't do something to somehow contribute. It's all gift. So we baptize infants to remind us it's all gift. At the same time, what gets lost in that is that there's a need to accept a share in the mission of Jesus. So little babies, they can't accept anything except attention and care and everything else that comes with little children. But you know, when we're baptized, we're baptized into the mission. We become a partner, or if you will, we become an accomplice with Christ in the work of transforming the world. We get a share in the mission, and we accept it. In the rite of election, when we have adults being welcomed into the church, and it was always a wonderful celebration here in the cathedral. I was always not only pleased, but just grateful for the chance to be part of that. At the end of every time I had, over 20-some years, had the rite of acceptance for people who were beginning to enter the church in a new way or preparing for baptism, I would always end the homily by saying, now I want you to think about three things. I want you to make a promise to yourself that you will go to Mass every weekend the rest of your life. And I was very careful on how I said that. Make a promise to yourself. You've got enough obligations, you know, in the world. Make a promise to yourself, no matter where you are, because people need your presence and you need that community renewal. So one thing, go to Mass every week the rest of your life. If you're going to join the church, that's part of it. Second thing I said, I would always say, get a beautiful piece of religious art for your home. And figure out how much you can spend and spend a little more. Whether it's a picture of Our Lady and the Child, the Madonna, or whether it's a crucifix or something, you know, something. And then make sure that you get involved in some kind of ministry to the poor and needy on a regular basis, out of what you're good at, what you know about, what the needs are around. And if you're going to join the church, that's what you have to do, because part and parcel of being a member of the Christian community is to share in the work of Christ for the transformation of the world. So on this feast, you know, we ought to be conscious once again of our own personal baptism. Most people don't even know when they were baptized. I always think memorial cards should say, you know, birth and baptism. and then death. I was baptized on the 30th of September, Feast of Jerome. So on this feast, renew a sense of not just the fact that we have been baptized, but that, but it means something. And in this gospel, hear once again God speaking to you, saying, "You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Mysteries we celebrate, as I keep saying, to myself and to anybody who is within hearing range, they're also always about us.